The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's all brought to you by BetMGM. Proudly so. It's Gil Alexander. It's Jeff Parlay, everybody. Real name, Jeff Parles. That's how he hosts shows over the weekend. I'm not sure why he uses that name, Parles. Jeff Parlay here. In for Kelly Bidlin, the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. Parlay, who was producer 5 and 8, the Grover Cleveland of producers here on this show, doesn't like the 8. You like the 5 better than the 8. Is that true? Is that?
Yes, the 5 is better. Yeah. Yes, the 5. I don't know. Number 5 is just better than 8 for some reason for me. 58 also works.
I just want to say something. I'm gratified by the crew. I feel so loved this morning because Kev in the corner, Kevin Trask, Sean McCollum says to me over the break, he says, you know, Gil, I was reading up on Hanukkah. This is like a major moment for me. I'm just so happy that he took that interest. And then Kev was just asking me about this word fakakhte, which he watched on Curb Your Enthusiasm. And you and I have actually, with Wishnev, we've used the word fakakhte on the show. It's a Yiddish word that means something that's spoiled or broken and just busted up, right? So, like, we talked about in the context of, like, when a Major League Baseball team subs, you know, just subs players or rests players towards the end of the year and, like, you're going to bet on the Mets with that fakakhte lineup, that kind of thing. And the other thing you asked about off-air was shmate was the other word that you love in Yiddish. The greatest sports media use of the word shmate took place when Charlie Steiner was doing a Agassi highlight on SportsCenter one year. And this was in the period of Agassi's career where he was wearing the bandana. And the highlight, he did the SportsCenter highlight by going, Agassi with a forehand, Agassi with a backhand, Agassi with a shmate on his head. That was the whole thing. And 5 of us died. You know, that's it. We just want to peel the 6. Oh, we have a pro tip from the previous hour, which has nothing to do with fakakhte or shmate, but I'm glad we could do that. Pro tip of the hour, be careful of using seeding implications in your handicap late in the NFL season. Seeding doesn't matter necessarily as much as we think it does to all teams. The 49ers might be an example of that moving forward. They've already won the division. They're probably not getting to the number one seed. Does it matter to them if they're number 2 or number 3? I would even argue number 3 might be more favorable the way that the NFC playoff picture looks right now, where they get to host the Giants. So just be careful about that and don't overrate that detail. It's your VSiN Pro Tip of the Hour, available for VSiN Pro subscribers at VSiN.com, at least 20 every day. Someone would know about that. He's played the game at the highest level. It's VSiN's own Mike Pritchard. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. How you doing this morning, Gil?
Doing very well, man.
Awesome.
Let me ask you about that point that we just made here in the Pro Tip. Maybe you'll torpedo the whole thing. Might we overrate, because I was doing this in a broader context of, hey, to a short turnaround in the snow. Okay, maybe we overrate something like that. Jalen Hurts, they're going to want to play against the Saints because they want a better draft pick, so they're going to do that. No, they're probably going to play Hurts when he's ready to play. And this thing about seeding with the Niners, like, we're going to get to a point where people are like, oh, well, they want the number 2 seed, not the number 3 seed. Don't we overrate that as well?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think the number 1 seed, you can't overrate that, right?
Right.
Because you get the bye. And years past, it was the number 1 and number 2, but now it's just primarily the number 1 seed. So that is the most important. I mean, that's why you're going to see Buffalo put up the effort. You're seeing Kansas City still put up those efforts. You're seeing Cincinnati Bengals get hot, too, because they have a chance maybe to get the number 1 seed if you look at that schedule coming up for the Bengals. So, I think after that, a lot of teams are just happy to make the playoffs, happy to win the division. You get a home playoff game in that situation. So once you get into the tournament, once you get to the dance, Gil, man, it's, what kind of moves do you got at that point?
What kind of moves do you have at that point? I see what you did there. Yeah. Jeff Parles is in today. I know you've met Jeff Parles before. Jeff is a Jets fan. Jeff, do you like the Jets tomorrow night? Do you like them against the Jaguars?
No.
very simple answer. I don't either. How do you feel about this game? Jets are a 1-point favorite in a... I mean, it's not really an elimination game because the Jags might still be in it in their division, but it sure might be for the Jets.
I tell you what, I mean, you're showing a pick'em on the screen here. I mean, you can tease either way, I think, and be okay if you wanted to do something like that. But, it's a one-possession game. It's Thursday night. You know, it's one of those games in which you have two younger rosters, younger talent-oriented rosters. And if one thing the National Football League is a constant reminder – it's a young man's game. Talking to Michael Lombardi, talking to other people, you know, around the league. Once you get to year 6 or year 7, if you're not producing at a high level, they're going to look to replace you with a younger player, a younger, cheaper player. So look at the makeup of these two teams. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars are starting to figure out how to win games in the fourth quarter, and Trevor Lawrence is coming on very, very strong right now with his play, elevated play. And then you have the Jets in that defense. Now, Quinnen Williams, the calf injury, still a concern. Ed Oliver had that injury earlier on this year with the Bills, and he missed several weeks, right? So if you're a big guy like that looking to push off up front to try to get it, generate a pass rush, that's concerning. But I like the Jags. They're emerging, but they're that constant reminder to me this season that it's a young man's game, and they're getting better right now.
So I'm going to give you a few games this week, week 16, Mike, and I'm going to, I want to know which of these you find the oddest of all these lines. I don't want to use the word fishiest, because then it connotes, oh, something's amiss, and that's not the case. But from your perspective, so I'll give you a few choices here. The Vikings are, quote unquote, only 4-point favorites against the Giants. That's choice number one. Mm-hmm. The Bengals only, in quotes, 3.5-point favorites on the road against the Patriots. Let's add that to the list. The Titans only 4.5-point favorites at home against the Texans. I mean, there's a bunch of these. And let me throw this one in as well. The Buccaneers, now all of 7-point favorites. I get it. It could be Trace McSorley. But the Buccaneers, who, how can I put this? Not great at football. 7-point favorites on the road against the Cardinals. And I guess I could add the Monday night game, right? Which is the Chargers only being 4-point favorites against the Colts. I think a lot of those, every one of those games that I just mentioned, there's someone out there being like, yeah, what about that? Which is the weirdest of those to you?
Oh, wow. The weirdest one probably would be, I want to go with Tampa to be the weirdest one, but then it's not so weird after all. I mean, Arizona is a complete mess.
They are.
I mean, even Houston and Tennessee, I mean, Houston has been competitive within the division. The last two games, they've been competitive too. One of the things coming off of last week that I want to reiterate here is we had only three games that were past one possession. Right. Last week, after the last week, week 14 of football. So we're coming to a situation in which a lot of games are one possession games, Gil. I mean, a lot of teams, and whether it's parity, whether it's the NFC with all the backup quarterbacks, over half of that conference has backup quarterbacks going right now. So I'm not shocked that we're seeing under one possession with a lot of games, and then the tough numbers, too, when you look at teams that could be highly competitive. But I think the weirdest one is Tampa. I mean, that one just stands out because they have been underachieving. Tom Brady, surrounding Tom Brady, just not up to par and not where it needs to be. And certainly Tom Brady, I mean, I think he's not what he used to be either. But, the Cardinals are just just a complete mess. And they have been since training camp.
I haven't asked you this in a while, but I'll ask you again as we approach the final 3 weeks of the NFL regular season. Which is the team, might be one in each conference, maybe you have one specifically, that is not the Philadelphia, Buffalo, or Kansas City, but is anybody else who you're like, we're not thinking about this team. And if this team, if everything breaks their way, you could see them making a legitimate run to a Super Bowl.
I said this a couple of weeks ago. I think the Chargers could be that team. And here's why. Justin Herbert is incredible. That guy at 24 years old is on a path or certainly on a pace to really have an outstanding career, right? He elevates everybody. Remember when Mike Williams and Keenan Allen were both hurt? He elevated the offense still. The offensive line was banged up. He still elevated the offense. And now they're in a situation with their winning their last two. If they can continually get healthy, and I'm talking about Bosa coming back, hopefully, if he can make it back this year, Derwin James, getting healthier as well. They have enough experience on that roster. They got a good mix, too. And surprisingly, the Chargers typically choke, right? I mean, go back to my days when I was in the league. But this quarterback is different. I think they, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, they might be just getting started with their surge in the month of December and into January as well.
Let me ask basically the converse of that question, which is, mm-hmm. let's take the top team. So those considered by most conventional right. wisdom to be the top team. So Bills, Chiefs, we'll throw in the Bengals in the AFC, and okay. Eagles and Niners in mm-hmm. the NFC. Sorry, Cowboys fans. I'm not including you. But of those five teams, what if I came to you from the future and I said, hey, Mike, one of these teams got bounced the very first yeah. week of the postseason. Who is that team? Who's the team that you think is the most vulnerable?
Wow. Out of those teams, I could you throw in the Ravens? Because I think the Ravens are going to slide. You don't want to throw in the Ravens,
right? That'd make it too easy. Yeah.
That would make it too easy.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't want to go against the Chiefs. I don't. You know, the Bills have been the front runner all year long. They seem like they could have one of those games. If Vaughn was still on the Bills, I'd be okay with them. Maybe the Bills. You know, I don't anticipate the 49ers sliding. That roster is way too good. The Eagles and their roster is way too good. The only caveat there is if there's more damage in that shoulder situation for Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's playing at MVP level, right? But that's the wild card. But, you know, potentially the Bills, because they might have one of those performances, that one of those awful, god-awful performances left in them on that schedule remaining.
Those of us who had them against the Jaguars midseason last year remember what those performances can look like. I thought you right. might answer that. Next time okay. people can see you doing a show, Mike, will be when?
Pro Football Blitz this weekend, Brady Cannon.
And what time is that?
That is at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Mike Pritchard, everybody, at MI Pritchard, the Pro Football Blitz right here at VSiN. Thank you, Mike. Great seeing you,
as
always.
Thank you, Gil. You too.
Will Hill joins us on the other side to talk NFL and NBA. And anything else, he's betting college football. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game, proudly, as always, brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Don't forget about our college football bowl betting guide and all of our coverage. College bowl season here, got you covered. Picks, spreads, totals for every single bowl game. You can head to VSiN.com and check out all our bowl betting coverage. While you're there, now's a great time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79. You get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Jeff Parlay. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Again, always grateful for all the feedback. Good, bad, indifferent. Just as long as you're funny. We love you for that. This is Mickey Baca. Hey, Mickey Baca tweeting us. Band back together feels like an early Christmas present. Happy holidays to you both. Happy holidays to you, Mr. Mickey Baca. He says, hashtag missing Todd Wishnev. Todd Wishnev on the Megapod with us tomorrow. With Matt Eubanks. Clash of cultures, Jeffrey. Clash of cultures. Medical marvel. Scott C. To avoid confusion, it might help to refer to Will Hill as the Fresh Prince of Hartford. It's coming up. This is from D-Gen Southern Gent. Gil, you just spit so much knowledge that I don't know what the pro tip of the hour was. I feel like the angriest guy in New Jersey is sitting in traffic on the turnpike right now, fumbling through his glove compartment for a pen and paper to take all of that down. Oh, there's no question he is. Ryan Hyatt, always love hearing Chris Velika on with Gil. Hope his new employer has better cell phone budget in 2023. Solid connection today. Yes, can we shout out Chris Velika for getting on Skype and making it through? It's a big deal here in this studio. Let's see. Jesse Welch, come on, Gil. Grab the Pistons by the calipers and let's cash this trend. Talking about that NBA trend. Let's see. Scott Kendrick with the Survivor question. I'll get to that afterwards. And let's see. Jack Cannon. The Giants deal was a bad deal, but at least you were getting a shortstop. As a third baseman, this is really a bad deal.
It ain't your money, whoever's tweeting that.
That's right. All right, and on, we appreciate all the tweets. Ladies and gentlemen, his Twitter is at not the Will Hill with two E's in the V. He is a VSiN contributor and the funniest man in every room. Sometimes I bring it out, sometimes I don't. That's on me. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, Will?
Gil, what's going on? Nice to see Jeff back. It feels like the summer again. This is a nice little treat here.
Summer producer Jeff Parlay. That's to be his thing. How do you feel about the Correa to the Mets thing? We went off on it a little bit this morning. What's your take on it?
The Mets are the Steinbrenner Yankees. This guy is just going to spend. And look, you could say it's too many years. It's too much money. It's a long contract. Like Jeff said, it's not your money and there's no salary cap. Okay. There's a luxury tax, but it's not like, you know, these other sports, basketball and football, where if you spend this much on the offensive line, then you can't spend this much on your, you know, linebackers. You can spend as much as you want. And this guy's got $14 billion and he's going to spend it. So I admire it. I think it might put a little pressure on the Yankees to come out of their cocoon a little bit because, okay, they got Rodon, they got Cole a few years ago, but they've largely sat out free agency the last 5 or 6 years. They let Harper, Machado, Freddie Freeman, Corey Seager, Correa, they let all these guys go to different teams, and look, they haven't been to a World Series. And, you know, like you said, it doesn't guarantee anything for the Mets. They might go 1-out, 3-out, whatever the new thing is in the play-in round. They're no guarantee to be better than Atlanta, but getting good players just increases your chances a little bit. And you know what? There's so much randomness in the playoffs now. I understand that there's no guarantees of anything, but when you sign Correa, when you add Correa, you have a better chance than you did this time yesterday. So I applaud the Mets. And look, they are the new Steinbrenner Yankees. They're just going to spend and spend and spend, probably be in on Ohtani next year.
Oh, man. I can't wait to make 17 Atlanta Braves division futures bets next year, too. And by 17, ladies and gentlemen, I do mean 17. I'm not exaggerating on that.
All of them won, too. Every single one of them. It's amazing.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. What a beautiful moment. Kelly and I, by the way, with our when we do our Christmas special here on Christmas Day, doing our best bets of the year and how's those worked out. So we do a whole ranking on that, and we'll see what place those Braves bets finished. College football, any bowl plays today or in the next few days for you, sir?
I'm joining the crowd. I'm taking Air Force usually for all the reasons you just mentioned. They're just hard to prepare for. Sounds like Baylor's going to have some opt-outs. So just pretty much reiterating what the Bears said, that I think Air Force probably a good bet. And we've seen this number come down. So if you can see a 4, I would grab it. A lot of 3.5s. I don't know. Where's this close 3? I don't know if it would go below 3, but I'm definitely on Air Force. Not too much in the coming days. I've got Clemson, but I think that game's a week or so away.
Yeah.
I took Kansas +3. I think that's a week or so away. So these games are fun to watch. Liberty actually got home last night after I'm cursing up a storm on them. They're down 21-7. They get a touchdown, miss an extra point, which helped them cover because I had to go for two, didn't get it, but they did cover.
Oh, how brutal was that? But never in doubt with Liberty. By the way, let's seize on what Will said, one of those lines he was talking about with Air Force. Baylor may have some opt-outs. Huh? He just threw that out there, I'm just saying. He just threw it out there. NBA, anything tonight in the NBA before we get to the NFL?
No, but am I missing out? Should I just join the trend here of betting the biggest dog? This has been amazing, right?
It's incredible. It's incredible. And I asked JVT yesterday, like, is there anything to this or not? And at first he was like, no. But then I was like, but it does speak to the parody, right? Like, there is something to that in that respect.
Yeah, even these bad teams have good players. Like, you look at, you know, a team like the Rockets, they've got some good young players, and the Pistons have, like, sort of like the NFL, where everybody's sort of, bunched in the middle here, where you're going to get some of these upsets. So I've sort of missed the train here. I'm rooting for our Magic. Do our Magic play tonight?
Do the Magic play? Well, they're not the biggest dog. Again, but for those who were missing, what are you guys talking about? 11 of the last 12 days in the NBA, the biggest dog on the board has not only covered, they have won outright. So, you know, again, who's the team tonight? It's the Detroit Pistons as 11.5-point favorites at Philadelphia. The Magic do play. They're at the Rockets, though. They're actually a 1.5-point favorite. You're on that Magic bet, right, to win the Southeast?
I'm in. I might play them tonight, too. That looks like a winnable game for them. They played well. They really had that game the other night. That was a bad foul late. They came all the way back. Look, if they lost by 11 or 12, you could have lived with it. But the fact that they came all the way back got our hopes up and then crashed at the end was disappointing. But that looks like a good spot for them tonight, laying a point or so in Houston. I might play them on the money line.
What number did you get on the Magic to win the Southeast?
I drove to the book because I saw they had a 200-1, and by the time I got there, it was 150-1. So I got some 150.
Did we do that? That will be such a fun bet to cash if it happens, like the collective surge of all of us having that bet in some form. Okay, NFL.
All you need is a two-team race, too. You get them and somebody else in a two-team race, and you can just sort of hedge your way out of it and make something at 150-1, 175-1, whatever. You got some wiggle room.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Pre-Christmas, so way ahead of ourselves, but we'll see. Okay, tomorrow night, Jags and Jets. Either a pick 'em or the Jets favored by a tick here. Is there a play on this for you?
Well, if you have a book that has either team favored by a point and a half, it's an obvious teaser leg. It should be close, should be low scoring, ugly. I think we're going to get some weather tomorrow, which, as we learned last week, is a dangerous way to cap these games. But I do like the under. I just think with Wilson, they're going to be very conservative on offense. They have a really good defense. Boy, Wilson is just so bad. I'm sure Jeff is I can see him rolling his eyes, man. It's going to be one of the worst picks of all time. I mean, to pick him second overall, they didn't even think about picking anybody else, and it's just wasting a really good roster. It's too bad, but I do like the under tomorrow, and I think I would lean towards the Jags. And you know, you asked Pritch, is there a team that you know you could make, that could make a run unexpectedly?
Yeah.
Are the Jags? Did they have a little bit of like a Bengals vibe from last year, where they can make a run and beat somebody in the playoffs? They got a front four. They got a quarterback. It looks like Jags are fun.
Little bit. By the way, let me just say this with both you and Jeff here, because Jeff is a big Jets fan, and I don't know if you're a Jets fan, but you certainly did the New York City cast, so you are locked into it. Is that the conclusion finally, once and for all, that Zach Wilson is just, it's over? Like, we've seen enough. It's over. Is that it?
If White played the whole season, they would be 9 and they'd have 9 wins right now. So yes,
that's it. He's done.
No, he's done.
Okay.
And I don't even think he'll get that. You know, usually when you're picked that high, you get a chance somewhere else. I don't even know if he'll get a chance somewhere else. I mean, he'll be on a roster somewhere, but nobody's going to say, hey, I'm going to bring him in and have him be my quarterback. I wouldn't think.
Well, that's an interesting point, because Trubisky has had he was also the second pick. They traded up for Trubisky, the Bears. Yeah. He's had multiple teams to play for now at this point.
He at least went to a playoff game. He won a division, I think. He's had a little more success than Wilson, so that warranted a second chance. Wilson's just been awful.
All right, what do you like best Saturday? Remember, Saturday is the bulk of NFL games this week, Christmas Eve, Saturday night, and then we got 3 on Sunday before Monday night. So what do you like best this weekend?
I think it's a good teaser week. I think, you know, you could save yourself some time. Some of these low spreads, you just tease them up and you forget it, because so many of these games are close. So I do like Minnesota, although I just had to bet Daboll 30-1. I know I was texting you about it and you talked about it. I don't understand how the Giants are -700 to make the playoffs. The Lions are like a coin flip, and the Giants coach is 30-1 to win coach of the year, and Campbell's +175. It makes no sense to me.
Will, how is Rivera not even on the board?
Right.
I mean, come on. Seriously.
It's strange.
Yeah.
And I know the Giants have been lucky, but there's not a lot of talent on that team. The fact that they're in close games enough to even steal them is a great coaching job. So I think Dable's live. I'm curious, and I guess I'll ask you this. If I told you right now Sirianni and the Eagles went 14-3, what would be a yes-no price on Sirianni winning coach of the year? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, then it's not an auto win.
Right.
Right? Then it is interesting. I don't know. Campbell might – people love to love Dan Campbell. They love love Dan Campbell. Last thing, you heard me ask Pritch, a lot of lines that people might look askance at this week. What's the one that's the oddest to you?
Since he only laying 3 to the Patriots, they're just a much better team than them.
Yeah, and then there's the whole thing of how do the Patriots respond to that kind of loss, right? Like unprecedented kind of loss. Will, always a pleasure, man. Great seeing you. Great talking to you. We'll see you soon.
All right, Gil, Jeff, see you guys.
Will Hill. Will didn't even get his plug in. Will didn't even get his plug in, what he does every week. Will Hill at not the Will Hill. I'm sure anything he wants to plug, you can find there. Coming back, Survivor Talk and Spanky in studio.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN is the gift that keeps on giving. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79. Get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today. You also receive $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays, though. Made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, deep dive betting reports, plus our ongoing College Bowl coverage with best bets on every single bowl game. It's a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay in for Kelly Bidlin this morning. Spanky standing by. We'll get to Spanky momentarily. Before we do, though, Jeff, because you're in today for Kelly and I talked about this yesterday. I wouldn't have brought it back today, but since you're here, I want to get your thoughts on this. Circus Survivor, real quick again, 14 entries left. 14 entries left. Started 6,133, and we have 14 left. We did get a tweet. We get tweets of being in the book, and this is from Paul Doris, who said, nobody other than the 14 alive should have an opinion. They're still alive for a reason. So I have a couple of responses to that. One, I have always said, even when we had Bob DeLuca on, when Crush'em Sports, when he had his 6, I was like, hey, far be it for me to suggest, right? Because you're the guy who's in it, and I'm not. On the other hand, Paul Doris, if you think that any of this is like skill from coast to coast on this, come on. You got to have like the fortune of life to get through Survivor. So we are going to talk about it. Sorry. Intrinsic value of each, $438,071.43. And so, Jeff, this is the Thursday and Saturday, weeks 16A, if you will, and then Sunday and Monday is week 16B. So let's just take the 16A, and we're talking about the only option of the big favorites. So north of 3.5-point favorites, the only option that is available to 13 of the 14 is the Tennessee Titans. All the other big favorites, everybody's used them. All the 14-enders have used them. So the Titans are the one big favorite option that 13 of 14 have. 3.5-point favorites, the two people who have the Bengals are saving them because they want the bonus. So my thing yesterday was the two people who have the Vikings have to take the Vikings. Root for carnage with the Titans. Take the Vikings. If you did not have the Vikings, but you have the Tennessee Titans available to you, would you play the Titans or would you play somebody else, one of those Browns, Steelers, Lions, Jets, or even Jaguars options?
I wouldn't play Minnesota because I think Minnesota's losing on Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's one. You know, remember, we did this thought exercise last year.
Yes.
Where
wasn't your finest day.
Was not my finest yeah. hour.
Should I explain to people what that was?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Thanksgiving, real quick. And I said to Jeff, if there were 100 players left in Survivor and you knew that 99 were going to take the Cowboys, wouldn't you take the Raiders? And Jeff was like, no, I can't do that. I was like, how many times do you wake up in your life and have a shot for millions of dollars? Of course that's how you play.
Yeah, that was an error in retrospect. Yeah. Granted, thankfully, I did not have an entry left at that point.
That's right.
You know, I would actually gravitate towards the bottom collection of ones on this graphic. Now, excuse me, we're assuming the two Bengals entries are not using the Bengals at all because of the bonus.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Okay, so we're assuming that's the case. I would gravitate to the bottom. I would also, I'm curious here, Gil, I don't know, does anyone have the Raiders left in this collection?
I didn't even look because they were a dog.
Because I would consider, wouldn't mind going that direction if you're going to go way off the board. I think they're much better than Pittsburgh is.
But here's what I'm trying to get at for you.
Yeah.
Okay, you have the Titans available. You're one of the 13.
I wouldn't use Tennessee. I go against the herd.
You would?
Yes.
Okay, it's one thing that you don't have an entry in real life, and we're saying this theoretically. This is the point I keep getting to. Theoretically, that's the right move, not taking the Titans, taking somebody else, whoever you decide to take. In practice, you've lived with this entry for 15 weeks. There's only 13 other people on the board. There's $6,100,000 on the line. Do you really think that you could take the theoretical and make it the practical actual doing it this week?
You know why I'm okay with it? Is because there's a real chance I could end up with Malik Willis playing half of a football game this week.
Yeah.
And that would scare the living bejesus out of me.
Malik Willis, who, in case you missed it this week, in his one drive when Ryan Tannehill couldn't go, when Ryan Tannehill was banged up this week, had a grounding penalty on a free play. Had a grounding penalty on a free play. Which, again, I'm not even mad at. I'm impressed, Baxter. That's unbelievable. All right, Jeff, thank you for chiming in on that. Again, it's always a fascinating question with Survivor. And good luck to all the remaining, it's not 14 people, it's 13 people with the remaining 14 entries. Spanky joins us, ladies and gentlemen, in studio. For those who are part of gambling Twitter or really just immersed in the sports betting world, you're probably familiar with Spanky. But for those who aren't, in addition to being a sports bettor, he is also the founder of Spank Odds. He is the guy that came up with the greatest conference that ever existed on God's green earth, in my humble opinion, Bet Bash, which now is looking for its third iteration. In studio, Spanky. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, Gil. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Good to see you.
Good seeing you too, brother.
By the way, people should know that's not a it's not a casual trek down here to the South Point. Like, it takes some effort.
Yeah, it's not that bad. You know, I was staying at the Circus, so 20 minutes, you know, no traffic. It's not bad.
I love how you say the Circa. I'm staying at the Circa. It's like, I love that. All right, so let me start with Bet Bash. Bet Bash 3 is happening.
Yeah, we just finalized, signed all the documentation. It's definitely happening August 8th through the 11th. Reason why we kind of pushed it in August this year, instead of during the Final Four, you know, there's the football contest. A lot of people could come into Vegas, sign up for the football contests, and also come into Bet Bash. And it's going to be a little hot, you know, obviously in August.
Yes.
But I think it's a great time. I think the buzz with football coming up, it's always, you know, the connections you make and the kind of people you meet is kind of more important than in April when, you know, just baseball starting up and, you know, and the tournament's ending. So it's not as I think you don't get more bang for your buck, essentially. So I think, at least for us, you know, we would like to make connections and we'd like to meet people in August right before the season starts.
Yeah, Bet Bash, a sports betting conference, the likes of which never existed before this. You know, a lot of us who went to Sloan Sports Analytics Conference at MIT, this, you know, the gambling part, there was a gambling panel at Sloan, and I went 6 years in a row. You were there. That's where I met you. That's mm-hmm. where I met so many people to this day that we still hang out with, Rufus and everybody. But the thing about that is the sports betting guys, eventually after we went a few years, we just sort of hung out. Right, it just the panels went, you know, were secondary, and so this is maybe the evolution of that. Let me just ask you, Bet Bash 2, and I was honored. You were kind enough to have me moderate one of the panels, which was just awesome. You were on that panel. I thought it was spectacular. All of the panels that were there. You plan to have panels this time as well? What did you keep? What are you sort of discarding? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, great question. So you know, the panels is definitely going to be a staple of Bet Bash. We also had speed networking, which is, if you recall, I don't know if you were able to get to that, but it was, you know, essentially you get 15 5-minute meetings. You would fill out a questionnaire, online questionnaire, about 10 or 15 questions, and you would rate your interest on a 1-5 basis on, I like NFL handicap betting, I like college football, hockey, baseball, and what kind of people do I want to meet? Do I want to meet guys that like to bet MMA, or do I like to bet people, like to meet people that bet golf? I'm really not interested in meeting people that bet hockey. So then, you know, then we paired up with a company called SpeedNetworking.com, which will then take all those answers and pair it up and give you an optimal 15 5-minute meetings that it's like speed dating, but it's speed networking. And that event, you know, changed a lot of people's lives. And I say that, you know.
Did it really?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that got hired. There's a lot of groups that joined together. It was the testimonials that we got and the feedback that we got. Jason Weingarten, I know, who's a frequent guest on the
100%.
Show. 100%. He told me Bet Bash was life changing for him.
And yes, that it was.
So, you know, and that's just one of several. It was just a huge event, and it's, you know, it was missing, and I know it was missing for us. It was missing for me, and I wanted to create this to be able to bring people together that want to just talk sports. And unlike Sloan, like you said, Gil, where, you know, sports betting was just a sliver of it.
Yeah.
I want this to be the whole shebang. I want everything to be evolved around sports betting, and that's why we made it. And I'm super excited. Things were, you know, we're going to have that VIP cocktail party at Legacy Club again, and we're going to have,
that was awesome.
You know, a watch party, even though the watch party is not going to be the Final Four. It's going to be the NFL preseason slate because it's an early
not
August.
Not quite as sexy, but not for some, maybe.
But you can still stadium swim and the Circus sports book, you know, that's going to be available. And then we're going to cap it off with something that I don't really want to give too much details about, but we're going to have a 4-course dinner, and essentially we're going to be changing the landscape of the sports betting industry, essentially, with what's going to happen at that dinner. So it's going to be, we're going to probably announce in the next couple of months, but it's going to be big.
Wow.
Yeah.
Change.
Yeah.
You're going to change the landscape of the industry.
Yeah, literally.
At this 4-course dinner.
At this 4-course dinner, we're going to be changing. There's going to be, I'll give you a little, you know, tease. There's going to be modifications to the Circus Sportsbook. That'll happen because of this dinner.
There's still room for Bet Bash here, or when do these become available? Tickets?
Tickets are available right now, betbash.co. You know, there's two tiers of tickets. They're still available, and catch them while you can. I think, you know, last year we turned people away the last 2 weeks. We sold out. And
and you really did turn people away. There was no, like, favors. It was like, no.
No. We had to turn people away. There's capacity issues that we had because the Circa, you know, last year Bet Bash was at the Circa, was at the D, and the D didn't have the capacity. Yeah. Now we're moving to the Circa, so we have a lot more capacity issues, so we're good there.
All right, more with Spanky. We'll talk about Spank Odds and what went down with Sport Trade and Bally's. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make some midweek magic with Light the Lamp Wednesdays at BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Place a $25 wager on any NHL player to score a goal on Wednesday, like tonight, and you'll automatically receive $2 in free bets for every goal scored in the game, up to $16. Just log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to get started. Then opt into the Light the Lamp Wednesdays promotion to receive a $2 free bet for every goal scored in the game, regardless of your prop bet's outcome. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. We have a pro tip this hour as well that we want to get to. It's actually from the first hour, but we thought it good enough to continue. Prime time and standalone games could give an advantage. This is actually a John Goulet pro tip, really, isn't it, from yesterday off air. Primetime and standalone games could give an advantage to MVP candidates playing in those games. Bills at Bengals on Monday night in Week 17. Actually, Parlay made the point about primetime games. Goulet did about the announcers having a say in it as well. Every pro tip searchable at VSiN.com. They're for VSiN Pro subscribers only. 20 a day right here on the network. One every hour. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay in for Kelly Bidlin today. By the way, we get tweets, we get texts. This is from Michael Montesano, who won the Circa Booby Prize the first year of Millions. Actually texted about two things. One, he said, is there a time frame in the eggnog challenge that Kelly has to keep it down? Yes, 1 hour, 25 minutes, to which he replied, I want action. No way he can do it. I can't even drink 4 ounces without feeling sick. But then he texted, after listening to you, Spanky, he said, I'm in for Bet Bash 3. He was at Bet Bash 2 as well. He said, VIP ticket has been purchased. Once again, the link for that for people who want it?
BetBash.co.
BetBash.co. Spank odds. Everything you imagined it to be at this point?
Yeah, you know, we didn't realize how many people were going to be interested in, when we first started launching, our server started crashing. It was just, and then people would complain and stuff, and it's a free service, so I offered them full refunds, and then they, but we're doing our best, and we haven't, we've been staying up, we're being more consistent. Injury, I had a whole injury team that's really, when you compare our injuries versus,
That's the separator, right?
Yeah, that's the separator. That's a big one. And we have a lot of different alerts. You could point at a line at Circa or at Chris or at Pinnacle, and you could see their limits live. And then you could be alerted when limits change, which is something
massive.
Huge. If people know how to use that, that alone has been a huge edge of mine for the last two decades. So, just monitoring sportsbooks' limits and knowing, after a line move and then a limit increase, that tells you something.
That's a wouldn't you say, a pet peeve if you've been doing this for as long as you have, a pet peeve over the years of not being stipulated clearly by sportsbooks.
Absolutely. And, a lot of, different exchanges and stuff, they might have a great line out there or different sportsbooks. Oh, look at that line. Any pro or anybody's going to ask, okay, how much is the limit? What are they taking on it?
Yeah.
You could have the world painted five. There's one guy that has a six. Okay, how much will they take on the six? That's the most important part of it.
Yeah.
Because they're only taking a nickel or a dime, for a professional, that's nothing. What I mean? So
limits, a great source of book-on-book crimes also as well through social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going after each other.
Absolutely.
You brought up exchanges in there. So I want to ask you about this, and I'm asking this because I don't know what went down. But we all see what each other, is doing. But we don't necessarily dive in. So you can no longer use Sport Trade.
Yeah.
But there's a Bally's element to that. Explain.
Yeah. So Sport Trade has to, in New Jersey, the law is you have to be able to pair up with a casino, an established casino or racetrack in order to get a license. And over the years, listen, I've been exposing a lot of these sports books. We call them dressmakers, not bookmakers, dressmakers. For being, just not tolerant of any sharp action. So a place like Bally's, obviously there used to be part of the Caesars group of sports books, and they kind of split off. And there's somebody up there that, has a hard-on for me and decided, hey, listen, you can't have this guy as a customer, Sport Trade. Sport Trade, of course, went back to Bally's and says, no, we really want him. And, I gave them full documentation on my financials and everything, because Bally's, of course, is going to cite some, there could be, because there was a video of me depositing $100,000 cash. So like, oh, I don't know, there could be some money laundering issues and everything. And the funny part about it at the end of it all is, if there's money laundering issues, Bally's wind up paying me with a check at the end of it all. So if you deposit cash, usually should, you know, if you're gonna, if you want to take out somebody, if you think there's a money launderer, you want to pay him back in cash. You don't want to pay him back in a check. A lot of these guys, once you riffle some feathers and once you kind of expose the business for what it is, a lot of these guys, you know, they forever will try have a vendetta against you, and that's just how it goes.
Let's take your example specifically out of it and just talk about it broadly.
Yeah.
So exchanges, I think we all agree, conceptually, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Gives bettors a different way to bet.
Yeah.
Obviously, Betfair being the biggest global example of that. But, and I get it by New Jersey law, and I understand why they make it law, tied into a brick and mortar. But isn't there a question about that? Isn't there a case to be made that any exchange functionally that is tied into a brick and mortar then doesn't serve the purposes of what you'd want an exchange to be then?
I 100% agree with that, Bill Gill. You know, as an exchange, you have to be welcoming towards all. You have to be able to say, listen, here it is, and we're making commissions, and that's how it is. They just make commissions. I mean, you pair market makers with bettors or bettors with other bettors, and that's how it's supposed to be. And unfortunately, the current laws and the way it stands now, that's not the case. You know, I'm very friendly with the sport trade guys. I'm still friendly till this day, even after, you know, I got the boot. You know, hopefully it's just tough when you're partnered with somebody that doesn't see that and that doesn't, you know, look to, hey, listen, you know, this will help our business, but, stop, you know, butting in to what we, you know, the customers that we want. If we do our own due diligence and if we vet the guy, what's it to you? And that's just not good enough for some people.
That said, are you bullish on the future of exchanges?
I think an exchange for me, in order for it to succeed, I think it has to be, more national. I think an exchange within one state is going to be very hard with liquidity issues unless you have seeders and market makers. But these market makers, you know, they're going to be left holding a bag, and they're okay with that. You know, I met Sport Trade's main market maker, and they kind of realize, hey, listen, we're probably going to take a loss initially, and that's fine. But, you know, I think in order for the volume, because we've played at Matchbook over the years, and when Matchbook was a U.S.-facing, and there was liquidity issues there as well, and Matchbook was worldwide at one point.
Are you – because the liquidity issue is really was – you know, I think most people agree that was the biggest hurdle for exchanges. Peer-to-peer betting, for those who are wondering what we're talking about with exchanges. Has some of those liquidity answer, I know that it's still a concern, it will always be a concern, but have you been surprised that in, let's say in New Jersey, that hurdle appears to have perhaps been overcome in some respects?
Well, with a market seeder, with a market maker, if somebody's hanging up a price on every single game, essentially acting as a bookmaker, then that's fine. And Sport Trade had a pretty good, you know, they had a couple of nice limits, you know, two dimes here, three dimes there. NFL on game day, they'd give you 10 dimes. So it's definitely respectful. But, you know, the days of actual bettors hanging up offers for other bettors to accept, I think I don't think that'll happen anytime soon. I think it's just conceptually too complicated. Any sports bettor is not going to just sit there, hang up an offer, and just wait for somebody to accept it. I think that, you know, you have to rely on a market maker, and you have to give the appearance for any sports bettor that, hey, listen, this is the price I'm getting, and I want it now. At least that's for me. You know, yeah. What I mean, it's hanging up offers for people to give and take and buy and sell. I don't know. I don't see that as something for the U.S. bettor.
Real quick, off this subject. College basketball. You have often said, you know, if I'm misquoting you, you tell me, that the beginning of college basketball season is like an ATM machine. Was it that way for you this year?
This year wasn't, believe it or not.
I'm
not sure. We had a phenomenal college football season, and the last couple of weeks we've kind of been tapering, stagnant. It's, first week or two of college basketball was okay, but, you know, once like mid-November, since about Thanksgiving, late November till about now, we're kind of just stagnant, and that's just how it is. But we had such a great college football season that, you know, just, you know, we're performing as projected. But, you know, you kind of, when you're getting it good, you wish that could continue. But, you know, It is what it is.
Even that was not, you know, you can't count on everything being an ATM all the time. Even
not
that,
at all.
We proved it with that.
Absolutely.
Betbash.co. I know a lot of people listening to your description of it, and you were kind enough to sort of share off air what some of the bigger plans are, which we can't currently, but it's Absolutely. And I'll just say this as someone who was lucky enough to be part of it and humbled to be part of it. The Bet Bash 2 was just outstanding. If you are into sports betting, as I know you are listening to this show and to this network, but if you're into it in a way that you just want to be super serious about it, learn more. And the biggest thing is networking, right? The biggest thing is networking. Even that that speed dating, just people who are looking for outs, right? Like
a lot of them, people are, yeah.
Right. So it's the gamut of, or I just want to know people who bet hockey, or I want to know people who do whatever that is that interests you. BetBash.co for all the information. August of 2023. Thank you, Spanky. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, brother, for having me.
At Spanky on Twitter for all of Spanky stuff. Thank you, Jeff Parlay. In for Kelly. He'll be back tomorrow. Lombardi Line next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.